Responsibility of how we hear. We have a responsibility and a will to receive the seed of your word into our hearts. You are looking in these last days for those who will act and believe their faith. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I've got a title today that we're going to look at, and a lot of this you've heard, but the Word of God is to be regurgitated, and we have to go over and over and over and over it again for the very purpose that it drops that 18 inches from the head to the heart. And I have a title here today: Your Love for Christ is Reflected to Your Loyalty and Commitment to His Body. Your love for Christ is reflected to your loyalty and commitment to His body. And I think that title pretty well sums it up. We all love to say that we love Jesus, we're committed, we read our Bibles, we pray, and so on. But the act of faith, the active side of our faith, is that being revealed in our commitment and loyalty to His body. Why else then have a body? What would be the point? And that is why when Jesus baptized them with the power of the Holy Ghost in the upper room, it turned the world upside down. There the church was birthed, already was there in existence, in its embryonic form through Israel, but the manifestation now, the doorway into the kingdom of God, was now visibly manifested with that 120 in the upper room. And that is why it was such good news. Not only the preaching, teaching of the gospel and salvation, the way of following Jesus, but that also God had enabled the doorway into the kingdom placed in the midst of his people who now have received the kingdom by faith. And our biggest problem in this last day contemporary church, they do not have the understanding and experience of the kingdom. It is really only known theologically. It is only recited in the Lord's Prayer. But it has to be lived. Because the church is not just in word and deed. It's also in power and might. And that is what is not always there. The power. And the reason that the power that is not found in the body of Christ is because the title says it clearly. We don't love Jesus enough to be committed to his body. And it doesn't take rocket science to show where we fall short of our love and commitment to his body. I'll just remind you of a few things, a lot of them of which we've had to battle. I can't get on with that sister. I can't get on with that brother. I've got issues with the teaching. I don't like that minister. The time when we meet doesn't suit me. It's not convenient. Or I've got to travel for that meeting. We muster up so many excuses as to why we don't want to be committed to his body. What is probably manifesting there is exactly the challenge that Jesus gave for the cost of discipleship. I'll come and follow you, but let me first go and bury my brother, my sister, my uncle, my father, or whatever it is. I'll follow you first. Let me go home and say farewell to them, and then I'll come and follow you. There are the excuses. And the Lord is going to keep bringing this up and up and up all the time. He is not going to let you have any rest, any peace, until you make a decision. And that is the mercy and grace of God. This is why we keep going round our circuits. We keep finding, oh, here I go again. And there is a reason. But you know something, that can be tiring, I know. And it can be challenging, but thank God for that. Thank God that is a sign he has not given up on you. And praise God for that. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, he chastises. You see, the church today and its ultimate purpose is really not understood. You see, to simply say that just Christ came to save sinners and establish his church doesn't tell us an awful lot, does it? It doesn't give us the ultimate purpose of the church, his body. We're talking about Jesus, his body. The one you say you love and you follow. You see, to simply say that, well, the church tells me I'm redeemed. The church tells me I'm in fellowship. The church tells me I'm walking by faith. But it doesn't reveal the ultimate purpose. Many religious people do that. Many going to their religious services today on Sunday will recite that. Believe me, I've come out of it. They'll recite that, but that doesn't mean to say the body is empowered by the Holy Spirit. If it was, it'd be turning the world upside down, the same as the early church was. We know, don't we, and we have heard it so many times, that Christ's mission in the world is our commission. In other words, we are a continuation of his ministry. We are a continuation of that proclamation. We continue to minister the life of Jesus as though he were walking visibly on the earth. He wants to walk and live and have his being through you and me. But we stop him because our heart and our affections are still elsewhere. And that is the problem. What does it say in John 20 and verse 21? So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you." Now Jesus is not going to send you and I if he doesn't equip us. He is not that stupid. He realizes that we're being sent like sheep amongst wolves. And so he equips us for that and will. But I wonder, brothers and sisters, whether we're really in faith for that. Do we really actually want that? Because "as the Father has sent me, I also send you" means that your lifestyle may have to change at times. Your other commitments and arrangements that you've made may have to change or alter. In other words, it means I'm on 24/7 alert, waiting for the command, waiting on the Lord for what he requires of me. And I get up and I do it. But our lives are so complicated, our lives are so committed to other things, that he can't do it. He can't use us. And you say to me, "Well, brother, it's all very well you saying this. I hear what you're saying, but I have commitments. I have bills to pay. I have a family. I have children. I have all these things in life." Well, brothers and sisters, that is why God is a miraculous God. That is why your life is a miracle. That is why God works through the things that are impossible in your life to make it possible. That is the whole purpose of the Christian walk. And these excuses will not stand before him. God is not interested in them. And you keep bringing them up before him, and he's saying, "I'm not going to listen. Because I have equipped you. I've empowered you. You have my life. You have my spirit living within you. When are you going to start believing?" That is the point. That is the empowering of the body. And that's why we're being still delivered from the spirit of this age, with all its fears and anxieties and unbelief that tries to hold and fetter us down. Well, secondly, in looking at this, remember this title we're talking about, your love for Christ is reflected to your loyalty and commitment to his body. Secondly, what was Christ's ministry or his mission? Had he come to save? Had he come to reveal the Father? Had he come to fulfill the law and the prophets? How to live a good and righteous life? Was he the one to reveal all truth? to seek out the lost, and above all to save his ancient people Israel. Yes, all of this has truth, all of it is in the Word of God, but it doesn't embrace the Christian church. It doesn't embrace its central mission and purpose. And that is the whole point, brothers and sisters. You see, if we're not sure, then we can't fulfill the ultimate purpose. We cannot fulfill what God has put in FGA. And you can say, oh, I belong to FGA, but FGA is not fulfilling its purpose. Because we still don't understand. We still just see it as a school, as a teaching, where the Word of God is preached, for saving souls, for praying, establishing churches. All of it has its place. Don't get me wrong. Believe me, that is part of its function, but it's not its ultimate function. Matthew 5, verse 17. Matthew 5, verse 17. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. And he says, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes, Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. And believe me, scribes and Pharisees are very religious, very devout, very committed and loyal, even unto death. And Jesus says, unless your faith rises above all of that, you will not make it in to the kingdom of heaven. You are deceiving yourselves. So what does it tell us there? My life is utterly, totally dependent on Christ in me, who has fulfilled all the demands required. Thus I have no hope, and the only way Christ is fulfilled in me is by my obedience, my yielding to him. And that is where the power lies, in the church, in his body. Jesus revealed his purpose in Luke 16, verse 16. Luke 16, verse 16. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it. So there is a pressing in to the kingdom. And that is why God has placed the doorway into the kingdom of God in the church, in the body of Christ. And we press in. And actually we take it by violence. There is a desperation for the glory and the power of God to be seen in the last days in the body of Christ that at the moment is not seen. And some have that and some don't. And that is why God has to make your life desperate sometimes in order to press in and if need be, to be violent. In other words, you are going to move anything and anyone who gets in the way. That may even be your wife, your husband, your child, your son, or whatever it is that gets in the way of you pressing in and taking that kingdom which is rightfully yours. That is why Jesus said, I've come with a sword. I've not come with the peace that you think, but I come with a sword. And where does that sword come? Where is it wielded? Right down in the family life. Because that is the biggest hindrance. That is what causes us to compromise. That is what hinders our commitment to Jesus and doing his will. It does. And the enemy knows how to use it. And why do we give in those areas with our family? Because if I stand up or I say no to them, they will reject me. Or my wife or husband will walk out on me. Or if I am committed to Jesus, they will stop me from seeing the family or whatever it is. How the devil holds us in those areas. How he tries to hold us from being committed, pressing in, taking the kingdom, if need be, by force. And sometimes our circumstances, where we just had enough of it, we just find that there's so many hindrances trying to stop me from getting in prayer or putting those spiritual things first, we sometimes get desperate and say, enough. Have you ever experienced that? I have. I've had to say, enough, because this is robbing me of what Jesus wants in my life. And so, in Luke 16, verse 16, the law and the prophets were until John, since that time the kingdom of God has been preached and everyone is pressing into it. So the concept is large enough in the Lord's Prayer. And that's why we recite the Lord's Prayer. Because that is only the largest concept of the church and its mission. Is to preach the kingdom of God. To reveal the kingdom of God. The power that resides in the kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. In other words, power on earth as it is in heaven. The very same power that raised Christ from the dead, the very same power within our lives, within our witness, within our experience in the body of Christ. But do we have that power? Are we experiencing it? You know, when we talk about the kingdom of God, do you realize it's embracing both Old Testament and New Testament? Yes. Because the Old Testament saints, they will be part of the new kingdom. Okay. They were under an old covenant, a different dispensation. So it's embracing the two, bringing them all into one. And it's the rule and reign of God on earth as it is in heaven. That's what he means by it. God's rule that was in Christ Jesus now is in me. But we don't believe it, do we? Our lives are all still too complicated for it. Because we're still battling the basics of discipleship. Because we haven't settled it. And we still make those excuses. And wherever Christ is, there am I. I know where I should be today. Because he's here. And wherever he is, that's where I want to be. And if my heart's desire is to be with his body, God will move heaven and earth that you're there. And we've seen him do it. And he continued to do it. God has supernaturally filled cars up with petrol when they've gone on their journeys to church and suddenly find that the tank is empty. I knew one testimony of where that was. It was empty. It was red. It was flashing. And he put a card up over it so he didn't look at it. And in the car they were rejoicing and thanking God. They had about another 50 miles to go. And guess what? God got them there on an empty tank. See, he moves heaven and earth because they had settled it. They got their priorities right. They loved Jesus, and because they loved him, their love was also for his body, where two or three are gathered together there in his name. He says, there am I. You see? It's a clear sign that wherever Jesus is, I want to be there as well, because I want to be with him. That's what you do when you love someone. When you love someone, you want to be with them. That's what love is about. That's why it says in the word, nothing will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. It is so powerful. And if we love Jesus, we love his body, then we love one another. I'm here today because I love you guys. That's why. You mean the world to me. You are part of my life, my function. I can't do without you, and you can't do without me. Why? Because we love Jesus.
Yeah.
Is it so complicated?
No.
We foul it up because I can't get on with someone, and it's because we hold that unforgiveness, resentment in our hearts, and we think God is going to bless us. Oh, who are we deceiving? That's why, brothers and sisters, we're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And we know our purpose. We know what our salvation is about. We're seeing what the church is all about. And that is why the church, the kingdom is within the church. It's that doorway into it. And we have the power for souls to be saved and to have that power to bring them through that door. Because God has given Jesus a remnant to redeem. He's given him a seed. And he didn't redeem them all visibly, outwardly at Calvary. Yes, it was settled for every soul to be saved, but the mission had to go on. And he's now entrusted you and I with that one. But we still get so caught up in our own lives, our wants, our problems. We cannot look away from self and embrace and seek the kingdom of God and what it pertains. That's why the scriptures say, look away and be saved. Look away unto what? To Jesus. He's the only one you have your eyes set upon 24/7. And when we get that right, then all fear, anxiety, depression, oppression, self-pity, you name it, it goes. Just dissolves. Because there's no room for it. There's only room for Jesus. I haven't got any room for anything else of you. I've only got room for him. Because he fills every crevice, every part and fibre of my life, my soul, my being. I haven't room for anything else. And that is why this message, his kingdom, that he's now given to us, to the church, God gave it to John the Baptist, and John the Baptist gave it to Christ, and Christ has given it to us. And he's commissioned the church and the apostles and the saints, and he's empowered, he's given the gifts and the supernatural gifts in which to stand as a beacon, as a light in these last days. Acts 8. Acts chapter 8, verse 12. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed seeing the miracles, the signs which were done. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had not fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also, that anyone whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to him, "Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money." And that is so much where the church is failing today. Made merchandise of it all. You have neither part in the portion of this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this your wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you have poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. Then Simon answered and said, "Pray to the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken may come upon me." So when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many villages and of the Samaritans. There we are. That is just a glimpse of the power of God and what he does. I always raise that question. I wonder if we shall see that man in heaven.
Yeah.
Did he repent? Well, he asked for prayer.
Yeah.
So that's giving some insight, isn't it?
Yeah.
There was a conviction that took place. Yeah. He realized you can't buy this at all. John 20, 21. John 20, 21. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And I repeat that again to really emphasize and get that home. Jesus has sent you and I. Now we know, as I bring this to a conclusion, we know that there is a place of waiting on God. There is a place to be empowered. They had to wait. They had to wait in the upper room. We know that there were further outpourings of empowerment other than Pentecost. For greater boldness or witness, there are empowerments for situations that arise and can arise. We know that. The Bible is clear on that. But nevertheless, He has sent you and I. And the question is, what are you doing about it? I can't do that for you. At times in this assembly, we hide too much behind the pastor. He'll do it all. That is not his function. That is not his calling. His calling is to shepherd you, to help steer and guide you, so that your eyes are always fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of your life. That is his ministry. The ministry is to equip you. That is its function. It's always interesting, isn't it? But in the New Testament, Jesus refers to his church twice, and the kingdom of God over 100 times. Doesn't that tell us something? Doesn't that really tell us? And yet we're so church-orientated. We can still be so religious and denominational. But praise God, Jesus nailed all of those bondages at the cross, as well as nailing religion, which is one of the biggest curses over the Christian church. You know, after Christ's death and resurrection, do you know something? His teachings didn't change. He still carried on preaching, teaching, everything pertaining to his kingdom until he was finally caught up. Didn't change. The message didn't change. Now he's glorified, he's risen. And nor does our message change. Acts 1 verse 3, as I bring this to a close. Acts chapter 1 verse 3, to whom he also preached himself alive after his sufferings by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Didn't change. The deeper life teaching doesn't change. The gospel doesn't change. Jesus doesn't, the Holy Spirit does, and nor do we. We use what has been given to us. The trouble is, so many today, they want to be entertained, they want a new revelation, they want to be made to feel as though they're Christian. They want to feel happy and excited. They want all the feelings. And guess what? The powers of darkness will cater to the whole lot. I read recently there's a huge revival going on in Australia. And there's a church out there that worships. They have Christian rock music. And it's just like in a nightclub. The rock bands all up there and everything, the psychedelic lights, and they can't keep up with the number being added. There are over 2,000 now. Lord have mercy. What does that tell you, brothers and sisters? It's the Broadway. Yeah. They're going there for an emotion, a shot. There's nothing of the cross. There's nothing about the power and life of Christ, or Christ in you, the hope of glory. There's nothing about that death to the self-life, bearing the marks daily of the cross that you take up also and follow. That is what they want. But you know something? I've got good news. There is a remnant out there. There is a remnant out there who's not bowing their knee to Baal, to idolatry. They are out there in the highways and the byways. Yes, they're damaged. But when they see that kingdom, they are going to take that by force and violent if need be, because there's still a desperate people outside there. And if you're not desperate, sadly, God has got to put you to one side. Why be saved by the skin of your teeth when God has empowered us and he has said, I send you. Your love for Christ is reflected to your loyalty and commitment to his body. That is the question we have raised today, and I trust the Holy Spirit has answered. It has all our name and address on it, does it not? Heavenly Father, you have the words of eternal life. You know how to silence us. You know how to shut us up. You know how to cause us to think, to stop in our tracks. You know how to take our eyes off self, what we want to do, and look at the bigger picture. Father, I pray that this word will do this. We are living in the end times. Time is so short. We are seeing the rise of the Antichrist spirit all around us. Because it's happening to our brothers and sisters in India, oh, it could never happen here in the West, or certainly not in England. Oh, we deceive ourselves. I wonder if we really do have discernment, if we really are discerning and testing the signs of the times, which we're to do. Are we really those watchmen that you've called us to be? Father, I'm aware that your body, FGA, needs empowering. Needs to come back to her first love and to know that Jesus sends us. I am not deceived by this, Lord. And Father, I just pray, Lord, that you will do this work with us. You will have mercy over us. And whatever it takes to get our faith to be active, movable, then you will do it. The times for excuses are over, because you are not answering, you're not hearing. You have provided everything in the blood of Jesus. And that is why we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, and love not our lives even unto death. That is going to be the overcomer's experience in these closing days. And so, Father, I thank you today for this meeting. I thank you for our gathering together. Thank you for speaking to us. Those whom you love, you chastise. And this is a clear, clear sign, Father, that you love us and mean business with us. Forgive us, Lord, that we can be so lazy, that we can be so cavalier and take things so lightly. Forgive us, Lord, that we don't have the fear of God that is the beginning of wisdom as we should have. Forgive us, Lord, that we still run and trust in the arm of the flesh and not look to you and the promises of your word. Forgive us, Father, that we can still be so worldly and carnal and act and live and look like the world, instead of being those separated people set apart unto you, your peculiar treasure that you say we are. Oh, Father, Lord, whatever it takes, work this within us both to will do for your good pleasure. And above all, Father, as we have heard today in the teaching, help us to see and embrace the kingdom of God, what it pertains, that the power of your kingdom may be our experience in our everyday life. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Jesus' name.
Stop.